Do you go meow to your cat, my way?
No.
Oh, that's awesome.
Snake.
Who's that?
Hey, you recognize that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love that.
What is that?
It's a ringtone from Metal Gear Solid.
Oh.
Whenever Snake's codec rang, that's how it sounded.
I gotta get that.
Always like that, and because it's coming back on Monday, the 24 ringtone.
Oh, yeah.
What, the pounding of the clock?
Just when they get a call at CTU.
Oh, okay.
That ring, always like that.
I like the Law and Order thing you do. The dun-dun.
Boom-boom.
Like, that one's pretty good.
And that's been Ringtone Talk, and now why don't we get the episode started. Hello everybody, indeed. Welcome to the Metaverse Podcast. This is episode 41. I'm Jero. I'm joined by Tho Shizzle.
Hey.
Highway.
Hello.
Smiley.
Hello.
And the subject of our episode, Skyline.
Hello.
We will be interviewing Skyline, getting to know him a little more, as we have with Highway and Smiley recently, and me way back in episode 5, which isn't even available online, but I was listening to a little of, and it's always embarrassing a little bit when you listen to those old-time episodes of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So before we talk to Skyline, let's talk about some news here. Hunter x Hunter, the manga, is going to be coming back in Weekly Shonen Jump starting in June, so Togashi will be coming back again from one of his many hiatuses.
You must have beat Dragon Quest, finally.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know there was a picture during the Greed Island arc where this mm-hmm. guy was just sitting in a room playing game and there's all this kind of garbage.
Right, yeah.
And there's an actual picture of Togashi doing just that, so that was kind of funny to see. But,
I'm just curious if he upped his art game at all, because I tried reading some of the arcs and stuff, the Chimera Ant arc, the manga. Oh my god, the artwork is just almost like it's done by a 3-year-old. That's how bad it looked.
And that's why I've only watched the anime, and I'm very hesitant about reading the manga, because where we're at in the anime, the Chimera Ant arc looks like it's ending. Significant events have happened in the past couple episodes. Episode 126 was amazing. But after that, like, I don't know how far long the series is. And
I think
also,
there's two more arcs to go after that.
Okay.
And then that's where the manga's technically ended right now.
Yeah. And then there's the fear of, well, he's going to leave again at some point.
Right.
So, I'll cross that road when I get to it. Next up, Futari Echi is going to get a new OVA this fall. Highway, mm-hmm. you seemed interested in this news earlier.
Yeah, I thought it was actually a good story. Nice story of just a newly married couple. It was a real Japanese, since they barely knew each other before they got married. But it was a nice story, and a nice hentai OVA probably.
Persona 4 The Golden is getting an anime series this summer. Forgive me for not knowing the full details, but I know from playing the game on the Vita that it's basically Persona 4, but there's some new scenes. There's a new character, Marie, that we're going to see. I believe voiced by Maya Sakamoto. I might have to check that out, but I'm sort of missing the point of the series if we've already had Persona 4 the animation a couple of years ago.
I think it's Hanakana in the anime, actually.
Okay. That has Marie.
Isn't that one like a fighting game instead?
Arena is
fighting. Okay, Arena's a fighting game.
And they are releasing another one of that, and they just announced that Yukari, the female lead from Persona 3, is going to be in there.
Just because it's not the fighting game, because it'd be like Blaze Blue, would it make any sense?
Yeah. Re Hamatora anime. It's a sequel of Hamator. It's going to be airing in the summer 14th season. I guess the question is, why?
Yeah, I'm
Isn't
calling
that about a hamster?
Yeah.
I'm talking about skipping that because that was dumb.
It had its moments here and there, but overall it didn't really stack up to be anything all that watchable.
Right.
Luna Harna is going to be singing the ending theme for Sword Art Online 2 when that airs this summer. A lot of good music from her.
Yep. Yes.
I like the last one you skipped over.
Yeah. Nature Valley is an anime fan.
Yes, they are.
Anybody missed it.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, it was really funny.
you couldn't miss it.
It made Anime's New Network. I was like, wow, this is very crazy. It all started with one tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
Gotta start your day off.
A link to that. Yeah, exactly. My favorite one is they have Kate from Zvezda holding like two nature bars. Like, them. I'm like, yes.
Oh my god, I missed that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of good pictures of just like cute Moe girls holding or like double fisting granola bars.
Yeah, because it all started with someone tweeting like, which granola bar would you recommend so and so from Love Live? And that started the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And they actually replied back with one of the character names. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. And I saw a guy that you guys are familiar with on Twitter, Raising Ref. He was asking something about eating crunchy granola bars and not being able to hear anime. And Nature Valley said, we prefer eating chewy so that you can watch and it sounds less noisy in your mouth.
Yeah, like that.
But, I had just went shopping before I had seen all of that. I probably would have picked up some Nature Valley.
If I think Funimation even tweeted him too, asking questions about something.
Your notice, Senpai.
Senpai noticed.
And didn't Crunchyroll say something about partnering with them or something?
Well, it's got Crunchy.
I wouldn't see why not. I mean, it's pretty funny.
When I first
saw goodness.
Yeah.
They've got a string of images up on their Twitter feed of the typical schoolgirl running late to school with a Nature Valley bar in her mouth.
I mean, that's pretty brilliant, you know, marketing by them, getting all those anime fans on board. So that's our news. Let's get into the discussion, which is interview with Skyline. Skyline, of course, the newest member here at Metanorn. We're all familiar with him by now, but we're going to ask some very hard-hitting questions for Skyline here. He hasn't seen these before, so he's hearing them at the same time that you, the listener, are.
I'm getting nervous here.
Are you ready?
I'll take the pressure as it comes, thank you. Go on.
All right, we got one from Overcooled here. Where did your love of lollies come from?
You asked the most obvious question right off the bat. It basically more or less comes from the entire kawaii moe aspect and really nothing else when you get right down to it. I also like how recently they've been using the characters, perhaps even overusing the characters, just basically to give you something else to see. It's one of those instances where, you know, they're in a middle of space combat and they have to turn to the hardened veteran of all space warfare. And instead of being this grizzled old man, it's a cute and bouncy 10-year-old girl that just has to act just like that. So it's, you know, it's a kind of misdirection. It's always very interesting to use that.
All right. Smiley, I'm going to have you follow that up with your second question.
All right. So I'm sure we're all aware of lollies in general. And here's a little subset of lollies being the legal lollies, where, you know, the character in question appears to be a lolly, but in actuality, her age is much higher than you would expect.
Paleo-lolly.
Yes. I was wondering what your thoughts were on those kinds of lollies.
Thoughts in what manner? Are we talking, you know...
do you consider them real lollies, or, you know...
Yeah, like Kate from Zvezda, she's technically thousands of years old.
Yeah,
but has the appearance of an 8-year-old child, so you could probably go to what is it? It's YOLO, I believe is the or YOLO is the word for a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
in that aspect. Yeah, probably less that, just the whole cuteness factor going into it. But yeah, legal lilies are much more interesting and much more fun. That would be Kuroneko from Oreimo. Taiga Ayasaka, and any one of the Shauna clones is probably much more interesting.
So it sounds like if it looks like a lolly, you'll approve of it.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to use one of my very hard-hitting questions early. What is your favorite color?
Green.
Tofu from Sekijitsu asks, why green? Because it's the color of money.
It's not the color of money. It's just a nice color. You can see it everywhere. It's out in the trees and the grass. It's very pleasant. It's very neat.
All right. Highway.
Let's see. What is an essential element you think is needed for a romance story?
Believable characters. And sympathetic characters. You know, you can tell any story. And you can hate a character as long as that character is interesting and followable. I mean, because obviously you're investing something in that. You can love a character, you're investing something. And if you hate that character, hey, you're still investing time and energy into that thing. And so for a good romance, they probably have to be more towards a sympathetic side. And it probably gets more interesting if you hate one of the two characters because you're wondering, you know, what do you see in this person and all that sort of thing. So just, you know, believability of character. They have to be someone you want to spend time with.
Stupid Hikari.
You gotta ask if they got the booty. If they don't, then they can go get out of here.
Fosh, your question.
All right, I'm gonna start this. It's a pretty interesting one. If you were a Yukikaji character, what body part would you lose every season instead of like an arm? What would you mean to make it different?
If I were a Yukikaji character, besides my arm, what body part would I lose? What the heck?
Gotta lose one.
What the heck? A thumb.
Thumb? Okay. Well.
Pick one. I mean, that's this goofy name.
Yeah, I would go with like eyes or something, because usually a blind character in anime is usually a badass most times.
All right, we got one from Min here. What was the first anime you watched? And what was the first one that you watched seriously, i.e. as an active fan or blogger?
As an active fan, the first anime I watched was as a member of a club I was involved in a high school and also an offshoot of a college club here locally, and that was Ron the One Half.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And that was on the old days of video cassettes. That was probably like 87. I was 16 and driving at that time, so it was, you know, 1987. First anime that I watched that I had to basically look back in time was the localization of Space Battleship Yamato, also known as Star Blazers. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're 8, you know, how much discernment do you have?
Yeah, I remember that being the first anime I'd ever seen. My dad was in the Marines in Japan, and he was there in Okinawa, so he was watching a lot of the Japanese shows, and he had seen Yamato there, and when he saw the Star Blazer VHS tapes, he bought those, and we watched those together, and I think that's the first instance for me where I knew it was Japanese animation I was watching.
Yeah, it's like me, my dad showed me Macross, the very original one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and later on, when I was 12, I was exposed to Macross, but it was called Robotech.
Yeah, Robotech, yep, that's what it was.
And then later on, the most boring one, Robotech Masters, and then the most interesting one, which was Robotech Next Generation, which, you know, had that post-apocalyptic feel to it, where I always thought the motorcycles that transformed into power armor were so much more fascinating than, you know, outer space planes that transformed into robots, because it felt more personal. It was always more cool. I always liked those characters a whole lot more.
All right, now we get to me. If you could be a part of any anime's world, which series would it be?
Goodness gracious. That is a very interesting question. Let's take a look here.
There's Railgun.
You know, that one is really interesting, because that always asks, you know, what kind of power, what would your aim diffusion field look like if you were a subject of Academy City? And that is an incredibly interesting question. The Academy City universe would be a great place to start off. Mm-hmm. And then what my power would be. I once upon a time wrote a story about an alien life form that could only communicate through feelings of deja vu.
All right.
So however that would work, that would be really interesting. I could only communicate, the AIM field got so screwed up, I could only communicate through those vague feelings that someone has gone through this before.
Sounds like a level one power.
Awesome.
Or five, you could alter reality around you. That'd be pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah, that would be really cool because, you know, people would say, did I actually do this? Yes, I must have done that. This is a strange feeling of deja vu. I don't recall signing over all this money to this mysterious person.
Right. There's an episode of Supernatural like that where this old guy has the ability to alter the world around him. So basically, it's like a bubble. If you're in his zone, you basically experience everything he allows. And it's like he allows them to experience like cartoon physics and everything. So they're like dropping anvils on each other.
It's like that old Twilight Zone movie.
Yeah, short. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. With Nancy Cartwright, who would later go on to star as Bart Simpson.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Don't have a cow, man. Smiley?
You might have answered this question here and there, but I haven't seen it yet. What is the origin of your username Skylion?
I grew up playing D&D and reading fantasy, and everyone loved dragons. And the girls loved unicorns and all those sorts of things. And that just didn't, I mean, dragons were cool and everything, but they were so inundated and they weren't very unique. And so I wanted to search for something that was unique and something that I was 12 and 13. I was really big into medieval history because I was interested. I've always been a kind of interest. If I have an interest in something in a comic book or in fantasy, if it has a real world equivalent, I'm interested in that as well. So yeah, I would look into medieval fantasy to see how these things influenced each other, and I came across the Griffin. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was, 1994, dial-up internet, going onto AOL chat rooms, I was always Griffin something or other. Either Griffin 071 for the year of my birth, Griffin 42 because it was the Douglas Adams number, something along those lines. And in about, I think, 2000, I kind of got sick of using Griffin something or other all the time, and I discovered that Skylion was something that wasn't taken, so I immediately registered it for some account or other. I think it was a Yahoo Mail account and another forum here and there, and Skylion comes from Neil Gaiman's Sandman comic books, and Sandman is the king of dreams, and he has a castle in the dream, and he has three guardians, a hippogriff, a wyvern, and a griffin. And he once upon a time referred to his griffin as a skylion. And that just stuck with
him. Thanks. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Everything dovetails together.
Highway.
All right. You and I both like a bunch of Mario Kata series. But which one would you say is your favorite Mario Kata series?
Which is my favorite Mario Kata series?
Yep.
Oh, goodness. Hanasaki Iroha.
Okay.
I put this on a comment on your coverage for Nagino Asakura, but I want to know how she developed that story. I really want to know how her ideas came together to be able to make that. Is that something that she always dreamed of as a girl herself? Was she a guest at an inn? And she saw this old manager lady harangue this young girl, and that's all she saw of it, and you know, like storytellers, we want to, if something ends, sometimes we don't know, well, how does the rest of the story go? What's happening here? And we'll create a fiction around that. So that, to me, I just always wanted to know how that began.
Okay.
I'm kind of liking her stuff on M3 right now. Pretty interesting.
Say again?
M3, she's doing that this season. Is that another mecha?
Yeah, came out a couple weeks ago. I've seen the first two episodes. That's off to a fairly rough start. I'm not really getting into many of the characters. They feel like ciphers to me. They can't really get a grasp on them or anything like that. And the world just seems a bit too obtuse at times. It almost seems shoved together. So I'm going to give it a couple more episodes to see if it can, you know, breathe some life into itself and be worth following.
Right. Yep.
Gosh.
All right, what anime tropes do you wish would go away? Like, you know, the typical harem stuff, you know, falling onto a girl and then grabbing her boob magically. Things like that would get rid of.
I don't think it's so much a question of tropes going away. I just wish storytellers would be better at using them. There is no such thing as original story. And hey, guess what? All the original stories got told about 6,000 years ago.
Right.
Because that's what people do. We tell stories. But what makes an individual storyteller unique is the fact that they can take these narrative devices or these tropes or even cliches and make it a story around it to where they can go and maybe a potential audience can go, this is mine. This has my fingerprints all over it. This is my version of this particular story, and I hope you enjoy it for that sake. So, you know, I don't think it's a question of tropes going away. Just use them a bit more creatively or more sparingly. And there you go.
Right, that's true.
Kind of interesting with shows like Flags that are intentionally playing on those tropes and
right, yeah.
Even multiple choice in some sense.
Mm-hmm. And those can by either be well used or not very well used. And Nalcom, I thought that was just hilarious the way those things came up. And especially near the end of that, when he went, he couldn't contain himself because he was just at this point, he couldn't contain himself any longer with this because it was just such a joke by that point that even the narrator, you know, couldn't hold back the laughter. And I just thought that's a really good lampshade you just had hung on there. And it was original. It was fairly original.
Yeah. I think I would get away with, get rid of the whole incest being a main key plot point in a story. Like a second half of SAO and Mahoka right now. They're using that as a main plot point. It's just, to me, it's really dumb. You can get rid of that. I don't need to see that anymore.
Yeah, I think Oraimo pretty much buried that trope. I mean, they slap you in the face with it coming and going. And I think they really did put, you know, the final nail in the coffin on that trope. Okay, so yeah, you've convinced me. Let's leave that one alone. Unless they want to treat it a little bit differently.
Right, cause it's always like, oh, they're not related, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Like,
no, well, the end of Sword Art Online. Okay. The end of Sword Art Online, I thought they used it better in some aspects than not.
I don't know. I think it's fine even if they are related, but that's me. I'm the minority.
I'm not really bothered by those incest tones as much.
If they want to do it, that's up to them.
Yeah. But I don't like it when they go for so long in the series, and then they back off saying, oh, well, they're not blood-related.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of a cop-out, really.
Yeah.
Because now even the Coffin Princess is pulling that bit of shenanigans.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not, like, pro-incest in real life or anything, but if you're going to commit to that story element in anime,
commit to
it. We got a question from Min here. Ray or Asuka? This is an Evangelion question.
Asuka.
Best choice. A 1,000 points, Skyline.
Once you find out about the whole clone thing and, you know, your mother, you kind of have to go with the Tsundere person. I mean, if that's the only choices I have, then I would clearly go for Asuka because, you know, that could make for an interesting relationship, and I do mean interesting.
Unless you include the new girl from the movies, then I'll pick her instead.
Mari. She's the best of them all. I mean, I think of these two, it's like, which is the least objectionable for me? Because I don't particularly like both of them.
Yeah.
I find this interesting because we discussed Nature Valley on Twitter earlier. And if I remember correctly, there was something with Rei and Asuka for McDonald's a while ago. And of course, McDonald's answered Asuka because they're partial redheads. And then, I believe, Wendy's replied, did someone say redheads? That was a pretty good thing going on there. Wendy. I don't think it lasted as long as Nature Valley, but a little humorous Twitter corporation thing.
Wow.
What would they call it in an anime? Mendy's? Mm-hmm. Flip it over.
Wickdonald's.
Wickdonald's. I'm always impressed when McDonald's actually makes an appearance. You know, that's the one that impresses me the most.
One of my favorites was just Dak Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
That might have been in Beck.
But, awesome.
Yeah. That's always like awesome. The pony tape decks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Back to me. This is a question that's always been asked in these. You're to be stranded on an island for 1 month. I don't know if the 1 month thing was ever in there. I just added that in. You can take 3 Menonorn members with you. Which ones do you take and why? There's a lot of options.
There are a ton of options. I would take Highway because we would always have probably a lot to talk about and debate and even argue. I'd take Fosh because we could probably cut each other up a lot. And I would take Overcooled because she has a science background and I have an incredible interest in science and that sort of thing. And the discussions would never end.
All right. Very
cool. This should be like a visual novel that we create, you know, or something along those lines.
Yeah, we should spin off like the story of what would happen. Who survives this scenario?
Well, as long as you don't actually abandon me on a desert island,
or actually cut me or something.
Well, remember, there's a one month condition there, so you'll be fine.
Minimum still sucks.
It reminds me of that.
Hey, now you're spending quality 1 month, 3 Menonorn team members. That doesn't suck. There's no way that could possibly suck.
Yeah, we can make it work.
You could write your own anime. Because I don't think you'll be bringing anime to watch. I don't think you'll allow phones or anything.
Wait, it could be like the siblings in No Game, No Life, and you could have solar-powered phones and Game Boys, and you could bring it to the other world or to your island, and you could still play your games and watch your anime.
In a perfect world. I love No Game, No Life. Smiley.
Okay. This is my last question, actually. An easy question for you. Who is the best Lolly this season?
Shinobu Oshino. No, this season. This season.
Yes.
Not of the ever.
So that answers the ever question if it ever comes up. Oh, goodness. That is a tough one. I do like Enju from Black Bullet, but I'm biased because I'm covering that one. Okay. We'll just go with that.
Okay. Enju it is.
Any specific reason over other lollies?
I think basically because I think her personality is more realistic for a child her age than anything else. I mean, yeah, they do add in that fact that she has glowing red eyes when she gets emotional or uses her superpowers, and she can kick herself through the carapace of a gigantic insect. But, you know, the rest of this time, she's pretty much sticks very much to, you know, how children react. I mean, I remember people going, man, why'd she run away? Because that's what a 10-year-old kid would do, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm curious now, any comments on, is the order a bunny or rabbit?
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on the lollies there?
The only one I would really ever consider a lolly is Chino.
I guess she is technically the only lolly out of the bunch, but so you don't really like the kind of stoic lolly?
Oh, I like her too.
It's not as much as the more realistic, except for her.
Well, this past episode, she was all over the place. She was a lot of fun, but you know the stoic, the coup d'air is actually quite nice too.
Uh-huh.
All right, before we get to Highway, you saying that makes me want to jump to Min's next question. Tsundere, Yandere, or Kudere? Or just Dere Dere?
Oh, I have to choose between the four?
Yeah.
Dere Dere. It seems like less of a hassle. I mean, Yandere, I don't want to be killed or see anyone else killed. Tsundere, I was married to Tsundere and I divorced it. What was it?
Kudere.
That one seems like it would be really interesting, but I like someone that's a lot more talkative, really. Someone that can keep up with me.
I agree. Dairy Dairy is best Dairy.
I mean, you'd probably be smothered to death, but hey, I mean,
it's better than being beaten to death or killed.
Stabbed to death or.
Okay.
Verbally abused to death.
This is more open-ended than you might think. What house would you belong to? I'm not saying any house. I mean, it could be Atreides. It could be Gryffindor. Oh. It could be anything. So what house would you belong to?
That is pretty darn wide open. I would belong to the Wizard Council from Jim Butcher's Dresden Files.
Ooh.
I was thinking Game of Thrones. There's a lot of houses in that, but it's not that.
I don't know. All the books I read, they were the bad guys.
The wizard. He doesn't make good guy, bad guy things. He just makes, these are the people, these are the motivations, these are the things about themselves. Mix it up together, watch them fight.
Okay.
I mean, that and you have the tendency to be able to cast magic where you, I mean, the last, in Changes, for crying out loud, he used a spell to halt gravity around the Mayan pyramid. I want to belong to that house.
Nice.
In the middle of the street, our house. Foss, your next question.
All right. What world would you live in this season? Wixus, Knights of Cydonia, or Black Bullet? Each of them have like some kind of depressing thing about them. So.
If I lived in the world of Black Bullet, would I get to be a promoter?
Maybe. I mean, if you get infected, you could get screwed.
A promoter, not an initiator. I can't be an initiator. I mean, no matter how much I would wish to be an initiator, I probably couldn't be. But if I could be a promoter, then I'd choose Black Bullet.
True. Because the recent Knights of Cydonia episode had me thinking, I'm like, oh man, I would not want to live that in that world.
Oh, yeah. Because plummeting sideways out of a building is my great idea of a good time.
And hitting a wall. I don't know how fast they're going.
Yeah, that was pretty splatterific. I was surprised.
I'm really weird in that I have vertigo in real life. Mm-hmm. And even like I remember watching videos of them going to the people going to the Sky Tree in Tokyo and then looking down to the glass floor and I have to look away. So that scene in Cydonia, I was kind of like I was on the couch and I was kind of like holding on to the sides of the chairs going, "Oh, hopefully they don't want to spend too much budget on this particular scene and I'll make it short."
Right. Cuz in Wixus they finally revealed the whole the price you pay for losing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was equally,
equally sad and depressing. So.
We have another question from Min here. Make up a rule that every anime studio has to follow from now on.
Make up a rule that any animation studio has to follow from now on. Yeah. Take your time.
So you're take saying your time. It's okay if they delay episodes.
It's okay if you delay an episode. Get a timetable out. Let your fans know what's happening. If necessary, I mean, we live in a world right now to where information is much more readily available than it ever has been. Promotional images showing what storyboards are happening as they're occurring. Engage in a dialogue with your fans. That would be something that would be incredibly interesting. That way, they'd feel more invested. But you know, take your time. Develop a good story. If it has to be an adaptation, don't rush it. Find the ways to do it. Then again, that changes a lot of the rules when you get right down to it, because you ask, like, is this anime a genuine product, or are we looking at a limited time infomercial for a series of light novels and potential merchandise? I mean, you know, those questions get kind of hairy, but, you know, take your time. Make a good product.
Right. I feel like that advice would have been very useful for ARMS when they made Wizard Barristers, especially... Yeah. That episode, you all know what I'm talking about.
And the current season of Data Live and Core Zombie Season 2, all those ones only get 10 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Mundad J, come on.
You know, 10 episodes, I mean, I know it's frustrating because we want two or three more episodes, but, you know, if that's the length of time that it takes to be able to tell a good, competent story, go ahead, right. Do it.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. I mean, Kyosuke Giga, they only had 10, and they pulled off pretty well.
Because, you know, two core is no real guarantee that the show is going to be awesome. Because, I mean, there's a lot of two core that
right.
just run on. I mean, that's the thing I'm looking at with, like, Mahoka right now. Is like, do I want to invest two core worth into this? And I'm not that interested the first three episodes. So, you know, by next episode, unless it makes me desperate to watch it when it comes out, I'll probably end up dropping that one.
Yeah, or you pull a Samurai Flamingo where they flip it completely on his head, and you're like, okay, this is not what I signed up for originally.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
All right, we got a couple more questions. This one from me. How'd you find Metanorn? How did you stumble upon this little corner of the web?
I claim being middle-aged and have therefore forgotten. Well, let's go back. That was, you know, I've been an on-again, off-again anime fan ever since I was, you know, 12, 13 years old, more or less like that. I watched a lot of it through the early 90s, didn't watch it so much through the late 90s, got back into it in the early 2000s, dropped off about maybe 2006, saw some things here and there from friends, bits and pieces, never really followed anything. Finally, it hit me again in 2011, so I was watching Madoka at the time. I followed Random C for a bit, but I don't like, you know, I don't like getting onto forums where people are constantly abusing each other and yelling and screaming back and forth and just, you know, upvotes and downvotes. And it's just disgusting. It's not fun. Mm-hmm. And I can't exactly recall what search feature. It was probably a blog roll, probably on them. And I just went through checking out just to see what was happening. And you guys happened to be active at the time. And I still forget, even though Kyo has probably told me twice, I still forget exactly what I first commented on. It always seems to me like I commented on a post that Fosh made for the first Haganai or Guilty Crown, one of the two. I can't quite remember it. But, you know, someone was there. They engaged. I was able to get involved in a conversation, have fun doing it.
All right.
So there you go.
So we can thank Random C for a bothersome comment system and linking to us on their blog roll.
That's true.
Highway, you have the last question.
Oh, okay. Do you have any interesting personal quirks, like either something physical or something? Like if it was me, I'd say I'm either synesthetic or I'm allergic to the sun, and that if I go out in bright sunlight, I sneeze. But do you have anything like that?
You are synesthetic?
Yes, I am number 4 synesthetic.
Yeah. I am too.
What are the odds?
I know, interesting. We'll do it. We'll do an anime fandom synesthetic kind of thing. What is your version?
Number form.
Number form?
Basically numbers, all the numbers have a place and a order.
Okay. Mine is even weirder. Or mine is incredibly weird. New shapes, new geometrical shapes that I see in the physical landscape make a sound.
And if I were
a musician, I could tell you exactly what key they're going into or what they're doing. Some are sharp and cold. Some are warm. It does wear off after a while, and it's only physical shapes in reality. I can watch television no problem whatsoever, and it's not a constant barrage of other sounds that I have to deal with. But it is quite bothersome in going into new places or places I haven't been in quite some time. I remember I never had the opportunity to go back to my brother's house for about 2 years. And when I first drove up and drove through that area, I was just like, oh, goodness. Oh, wow, this is really cool. Because it's just this constant weird buzzes and whirs and different things that go on for that. But it fades away after a while. It's kind of like an unpleasant smell. You get used to it, and you just put it in the background of your mind.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we got a little time here. Skyline, maybe we can turn the tables around in your favor and have you ask us any questions that you could possibly think of right now. Anything for a specific member or just all of us in general?
Okay.
And maybe we can have an anime discussion if there's enough time.
Okay. This is something because just from my perspective, it's kind of foreign. I have never in my life been a sports fan at all. It has no interest in me whatsoever. And so to me, being both an anime fan and a sports fan is kind of unusual. Probably not for you because you've lived it. So, you know, how does that happen? How does that work?
Well, the sports thing comes from my dad watching basically every sport there is. I followed a little bit, whether it's, you know, the four major sports here in America, soccer, racing, all of it. I follow all of that, and a lot of that comes from him. And when I moved from Cincinnati to North Carolina, I had met a friend in high school who was a big anime fan, so he got me into Naruto as the first series, and then ever since then, he's been my best friend, and I've met a lot of other friends around here who are, you know, into anime and stuff, so it's kind of just a thing of anime was kind of just the circle that I fell into, and then I fell in love with it, and I wasn't that crazy on sports anime for the most part. I would always say Hajime no Ippo and then everything else, but actually this season, the new sports shows that have debuted, I like all of them. I think they're all very good in their own way. So that's how it happened for me.
Excellent. That's a good answer.
Yeah, for me, I don't know if you know, I'm as much of a sports fan as J-Ro, but yeah, for me, it's about the same thing. I mean, growing up, I didn't really play sports much, but I liked watching football and basketball especially, and auto racing. And and I tend to get into just weirder sports, so I like watch foreign racing and European soccer and pretty much anything like that.
I mean, I don't want to say I have no interest in sports. I have had it off and on, but it's never been anything that I was capable of sustaining for a long period of time. Early 90s, I was really, really into hockey. But the reason I got into the NHL was because of video games, because we played round-robin tournaments on the old NHL EA video cassettes, or game cassettes.
That's how everyone got into hockey.
NHL 94.
Yep, NHL 94 was quite possibly the best one ever made. Blood on the ice. Oh, why'd they ever clean that up?
Did you ever play Blades of Steel on the NES? I love that.
Yes. Blades of Steel. Yep.
You get no fight in the fighting game.
EA did it better. Blades of Steel is okay, but EA did it better. But you know, it was never an interest. And I have kind of like a nerd's interest in sports because I know the rules. And I can watch it and not be completely stumped and say, oh, you know, watching a baseball game, that was a great touchdown. You know, I'm not going to do that. I understand the basic rules. It's just, like I said, nothing that has ever been able to sustain an interest for very long.
All right. Any others?
You know, there's probably dozens I could probably think of, but not on the spot.
All right.
Again, preparing me with questions might have, you know, paid off.
All right. Well, we got some time yet. We're a ways off from an hour worth of podcasting, so maybe I can open up the floor to just kind of a general anime discussion. I know you brought up Mahoka, and you said you weren't that interested in it. I'm a little iffy right now after having seen episode 4 and the whole start of the bigger plot about the discrimination in magic versus non-magic.
For me, that's the part that's getting interesting. For me, all of Mahoka's been getting better as it went along. The worst part for it has been Shiba's just, the guy's a stick. I mean, he needs to loosen up a bit. But and all the introductions were just terrible. The way people would walk up and say something and someone else would say hello, and then the person next to them would say wait until they're done and say hello. It just was the stiffest show I've seen in a while. But as the story's gotten better, or more into the story, and we're getting away from the silly introductions and stuff like that, I think it's gotten a lot more interesting to me, especially the disciplinary committee and their stance against the discrimination that they have in the school.
It's just, you know, as I mentioned before, you got to have, I mean, you ask what is a good, what the best thing for a romance show. That was true about every show. It's got to have characters that are compelling. They've got to grab me. They really got to grab me. And so far, no one of the characters I've met in that show have demanded my attention and made me want to go, oh, I can't wait to watch the show because this character is in it. No, so I mean that's got to be the way it's got to be done, for me anyway.
I'll get to Smiley here because you actually have been kind of away for a little while. You just blogged Nisei Koi episodes 12-16. We'll talk more about your thoughts on that as Skyline rummages for stuff.
Well, Nisei Koi, I mean, that's a show that I've managed to forget about. And I'm also loving it.
So that's not a very good sign. I think I just got distracted by the new season. But essentially, I mean, every time I go to write about the show or even just watch it, I get kind of frustrated, even though I know I should know better and not expect anything from it and not hold any one girl above the others.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I have to continually root for Chitoge because I'm firmly rooted in that camp.
And yeah, I'm right there with you.
And here they are, you know, they made a very good progress, learning, like, lots of headway in uncovering the past. In, I think, episode 12, I believe? Yeah, where everything was more or less laid on the table, and all of the heroines knew of the situation, you know, that they knew each other and they knew Raku, and there was that promise, and there was that thing about those keys, which, mm-hmm. you know, conveniently now is locked as sent for repairs, when you can probably very easily remove it, remove the key from the hole with, I don't know, a little bit of duct tape and some other utensil, or even just super glue. You know, there are so many
pliers.
Ways. There's so many ways you could have removed that key from the lock without sending it off to Shu's uncle and who knows where he is, and it'll be off for like the next 5 episodes. But, you know, there's that. And then all of a sudden after dealing with this, you know, they introduce the picture. And it's some other girl entirely, and now it's time to introduce, you know, the last heroine of the bunch. And it's like, oh, she comes in, and it's like, well, here we go again. That's, you know, it's a little frustrating when that happens. And then the best part is, immediately following her introduction, they're like, well, we got to give Onodera some more screen time, or I guess we got to give Hanakana some more of her voice time because she's not getting paid enough. So we're going to have an episode dedicated to her immediately after introducing this new character, which, you know, it's just so jarring. And usually I follow up after watching the episodes, I follow up with reading the chapters of the manga that are covered. I actually haven't done that yet because that's 5 episodes that I missed, and I'm guessing 5 episodes is going to correspond to, like, what, 10 chapters?
Yeah, about
least.
So.
That's quite a lot to go through, and I would have liked to find out if that episode 16 with Onodera was, like, actually a side story or something, or if the manga actually did
something. It was a full chapter.
It was a chapter chronologically in that order? Okay, that's we'll put that on the author, so that's on him.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the most amazing.
I mean, I read some of his past works. I read Double Arts. That was a nice, fun little thing. I think it ended a little too soon, but, you know, there was that.
We can
for
bring
most
up,
part, it's very copy-paste for Nisekoi.
Yeah. You know,
insert new girl, give her a background. Yeah.
We could bring up a manga that we're currently reading that we would like to see an anime series for.
Oh, man.
I have two. Assassination Classroom, I'd really like to see. I think that's a great character, Koro-sensei, and how the idea of the series is that these kids in Class C have to kill their teacher before the end of the year, or else he destroys Earth. And
make mistakes insane.
And it's really funny because he's a really good teacher, and they like him, but they want to kill him because there's, like, this, I forget the award, if it's, like, 10 billion yen or something, that was the award. That's a really good series and pretty funny in addition to some interesting action stuff. And then Shokugeki no Soma also from the cooking manga.
Whenever I watch Nisekoi, and when the guy's cooking, I'm thinking that, and I'm like, Shaft needs to get on Shokugeki no Soma. Mm-hmm. If they can make that show, it's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So the food animation has to be high quality animation for the food, because that's the plot of the series. So.
It does have to. And they're very detailed in their explanation of food. Like, if you fall behind a few chapters, and you start reading, and you're not that interested in how food is made, it's like, oh, well, they're just, you know, engaging in hyperbole about how they made all of these ingredients and how they mixed it with the apples and stuff, and you know, that kind of wears on you as you're reading it, but you're not really that interested in ingredients.
just don't read it when you're hungry. I took that. I was like, damn, this food looks good. I was like, well,
yeah, it's like I watch Alton Brown, and I all of a sudden went, my refrigerator in my pantry sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't have that stuff. Damn. For me, I don't know. There's a lot on my list. I mean, the Iron Knight, which I think got canceled early. It's about a kid with demon powers. It's kind of a apocalyptic world. Almost like Black Bullet. Mm. Or there's a UQ holder, which is kind of a sequel to Negama. Like, it's supposed to be 200 years later. And that one's cool because it's got supernatural, got immortals, got, you know, kind of that kind of mafia themes to it, too.
Yeah, I read that one. That one's pretty enjoyable, too.
There's no harem of middle school girls, is there?
No. It basically follows like a kind of like a shonen character. He's like, he's kind of stupid, but he's insanely powerful. Okay. The only character that carries over is the vampire girl. I forgot her name. Yeah, she's the only one that carries over.
Evangeline, and she's in her boring Bishoujo form.
Yeah, she does change into a little kid form every once in a while, but they've only done that twice. So.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah,
but that's more of a fighting series, so it'd be really shonen and. And Akame ga Kiri, which, you know, got announced as an anime. I'm excited for that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was reading that for a while. That's hyped. Yeah, it's very gory, very violent. So I like that.
For me, it is actually one of the manga that you recommended to me, Fosh. Kono Bichutsubo Niwa. And that's about an art club in middle school the main male lead is a very, very talented painter, but he only paints moe girls that he calls his brides, and he's only interested in the 2D world. And his fellow club member is a girl that has shown him that she quite spit out and probably couldn't quite spit out because he is dense and has no interest anyway. And it's incredibly cute. I mean, it's a sweet little, sweet, nice little romance, and it's got a good pace to it. Another one is Boku Girl.
Reading that.
Yes.
I'm reading that too.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. You know, Tom Huddleston step aside because they made Loki a lowly in this series. And she's a trickster, and she turns this guy who is rather an effeminate sort of male, turns him into a girl.
Yep.
kind of petanko, you know, a little bit slim in that given way. And I just love the fact that his best friend all of a sudden has all those hormonal reactions to him, her. And, you know, can't quite know what to think about that. That's some good comedy and some good dramatic moments that go on with it.
Yeah, his friend has been keeping it in control very well, actually. He's remained the bro.
He has remained the bro, but, I mean, come on. He can't do it for very long.
Oh, he really can't.
No, he can't do that for very long, for crying out loud. Especially when she is that adorable.
And so too.
Mm-hmm. And my last one would be Tsugumomo. That's a supernatural series. Basically, it is, I can't remember the exact Japanese term, but it is when an object, hangs around the same family for more than 100 years, it becomes alive, in respect. And this happens to be a silken obi, a kimono sash. And, of course, because it's a supernatural fighters, this... rather petite character who gets, you know, depowered into a lowly form. So, yeah, now you know why I'm there. Basically,
I just Googled some images and I'm seeing some DFCs here.
Oh, it plays it so fast and loose and insane with that. It's crazy. And it's one of those kind of things that if you're a fan of To Love Ru, it would probably fit right in there.
Mm. Right.
Because it kind of has all of that same sensibilities going on for it, and you know her silken, she can transform all that into like big drills, hammers, balls that can, you know, be invulnerable to damage and different stuff like that. So she has to train up this kid that the sash is a family relic. His mother used it as a fighting weapon before him. She's disappeared, and he kept it as a memento for it and slept with it under his pillow for the longest time. And when she became back to being a person, you know, she still sleeps with him. He has some objections, as you know, any anime boy would, but you know that sometimes doesn't work out in his favor.
Right. It sounds like a volley version of Kill the Kill to Me.
Of what?
Instead of Kill a Kill, you know, Senketsu comes alive. But in this version that you're reading, is turns to a little kid. So. And actually, he can talk to you and fight.
Yep, and it has one of those sort of gods, a goddess that gets stuck in a lowly form, and she's perpetually poor. Right. And all those sorts of different things. It's a good ecce series. If you like To Love Her, you'd probably like it. And just looking at my list on P Manga on the tablet, that's about it.
All right. There's no more last second questions for Skylion or anything like that. I will conclude the episode.
Ask me anything. AMA. Ask me anything.
AMA. Hmm? AMA. We'll do a Reddit for you.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be. People will be clamoring to go to that Reddit, let me tell you.
Wikipedia page, I remember.
Mm. Oh, that would be silly. You know, you mentioned Cincinnati Skylion. You know, they have a convention in, I believe, Columbus.
Yep, OhioCon.
Yeah, I love the name of that. That's a cool name.
Oh, I've been to OhioCon about 4 times.
All right.
4 times. And I know you're going to say after I say this, Pixar, it didn't happen. I destroyed them. But I did cosplay and I did cross-dressing.
Oh, my.
They dressed me up as a gothic Lolita.
Naga would want to see this right away.
I don't know if she would. I think. She'd want to see him looking like a guy.
Yeah, with another guy.
Who knows?
Yeah, with another guy.
I, as they said, got digits at that convention. That was 2003. So yeah, I would love to go back. I don't travel very well when you get right down to it.
Hmm. Have you guys seen the cosplayer who dresses as Madoka? He dresses as that. There's one of a guy dressed as the main girl from Kill la Kill.
Yeah,
it's pretty disturbing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's kind of like what that.
Valentine or something.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that kawaii old man or that one German guy that, you know, does twin tails, but he has a full beard, but he wears schoolgirl outfits, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I wish I had the time, you know.
I was at Animazement a couple years ago, and there was a male Saber cosplay.
Oh, wow, yeah. Which can be done because, you know, they've shown OVAs of that, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Menonorn. That's the website, .net.com, whatever you want to put in. Google it. You'll find it there. Speaking of the convention stuff, this month, Anime North is going on, and Overcooled will be going to that. She got press passes, so I'm sure she's going to have some kind of post eventually and maybe some interviews with some people. I'll be going to Animazement. I didn't get press passes because, I'll admit, I don't care enough. I just want to go there and hang out and have fun. And probably not pay attention to most of what the panel people say, because I'm not that big on the people that they got. It's a lot of familiar faces.
It's funny, you go to any convention for anything, if you hang out in like dealers halls and just talk to fans or people that are involved in that sort of thing, you often get better than you get any sort of event. Like I went to Gen Con for years upon years in a row, and it's a gaming convention. Mm-hmm. And I never bothered to even look through the catalog to buy tickets or try to get tickets to an event, like if they were playing D&D or playing another game I like to play, because you rarely have ever got it, because they only had like 6 to 8 slots. But if you go to the dealer's hall, they're constantly demoing games, and you can sit down, you can play a board game with them and have a lot of fun doing it. You don't have to pay any cash for it. You can test out, play test a new role-playing game and sit down for a couple of hours with a writer of the game, and they're going to take you through it and have fun that way. And the same thing in anime conventions. I never really went to panels because it didn't seem as interesting as just being able to kick back with the people in those booths and the fans and just talk about anything.
Hmm. All right. So that stuff will be coming later in the month. And let me see. A lot of blog stuff going on. We're getting into our flow for the spring season. Fosh and I have done our mini talks on JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and Captain Earth. We'll hopefully be doing those weekly instead of pre-episodes. Conflicts of schedules and such. Highway and Smiley and Fosh also and Skyline are blogging shows, and I'm just talking about them, and I'm just talking here because I don't like writing.
Nope, yes, well, that's why I do some video reviews sometimes. I'm like, I don't want to write. Yeah. I just want to talk.
I could hold a class.
All right, so for Fosh, for Smiley, for Highway, and for Skyline, I'm Jero, and we will see you next time on the Metaverse Podcast.